Obviously, you know, you're a football coach and you played football when you're growing up, but what drew you to football, and did you play like other sports?
I actually, in high school, I played football, basketball, and baseball. I went to Slippery Rock University, and then I actually went as a walk-on basketball player.
Oh.
I was the last cut, didn't make the team, but I graduated Slippery Rock with a sport management degree, and my internship was actually with the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1994.
Oh, that's cool.
I did my internship. I actually got hired by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And in 1994, you guys were really young, but
We
baseball
weren't
went
even
on
born.
strike. So I actually ended up, I was hired, collected two paychecks, and then I was actually fired or let go because Major League Baseball downsized. So I came back home to actually Tamaqua, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour. It's north of Allentown. It's
Okay.
Eastern PA. And one of my old coaches actually offered me his wide receivers coach and left. So he asked me if I was interested in coaching wide receivers and D-backs. So that's how I actually fell into the position, honestly. But yeah, would have never dreamed I was going to be a football coach 27
That's
years later.
crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of an unusual path to doing it too. And do you feel like that kind of experience, you know, working for the Pirates for that short time, then getting fired? I know it was probably terrible at the time, but did it kind of help you in the long run, where you got fired, but then you're able to land on your feet right away and
Sure.
kind of
Yeah.
learn from it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was Pittsburgh, it's a national baseball team. I mean, that's, very professionally run. You know, everybody there, that's what their life is Major League Baseball. So the experiences I gained through my college internship and then that little time that I was there helped me tremendously in dealing, and a lot of it dealing with people, because you were on the phone, you were, people were coming in and out, vendor. It was actually a great experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what about, I know you mentioned a little bit about your playing career. So what was your playing career like in high school? So I know you're saying you're kind of probably more of a basketball player throughout your time in high school.
Yeah. I mean, I was a 3-year starter at quarterback in high
Oh,
school.
nice.
We weren't very good. We 4-6, 5-5, and 5-5. Now, basketball wise, I was a point guard, scored over 1,000 points in basketball. Made the state playoffs in Pennsylvania as a sophomore, junior, and senior. Baseball, we were mediocre. But I was all conference in all three sports. So, I
That's
mean,
awesome.
that's, and then when I went to college, actually another guy went from the same high school. He went to Slippery Rock also, and he did play basketball. So I'm like, I'll go as a walk-on. And well, I was the final cut.
Right.
I didn't make it. So, and then I never tried out the next 3 years.
It's also interesting, all the guys that we've talked to with this up to this point, everyone has played multiple sports in high school, which I think is a good kind of lesson and an indicator for kids right now who some will just play one sport, whereas it's kind of probably better to play multiple sports. And I'm sure you probably like the multiple sports better too.
I do. I do like, I like, because it shows different types of athleticism. It shows different demeanors. Like when you're on a basketball court in a enclosed, like in a gym, you could see emotion. You could see how a player reacts to controversy. When things aren't going real well, how does he carry himself? Where on a football field, you're 140 yards away in the stands. When I'm recruiting a quarterback, it's kind of hard to actually see, what does he feel like? What's going on? But like in a basketball or a track or a baseball setting, you're pretty close to him, so you can see kind of how does he handle himself when in adverse conditions.
Yeah,
I played basketball in high school, so like I definitely like understand that. And then from each sport, like you learn different things about, let's say, like angles and stuff. Like see basketball, you got to put yourself right by the basket to do things, and then on football, you got to get the right angles on every route and throwing motions and things like that. So
yeah, and basketball is a little tighter, so it's a little easier. Football is a lot tougher. It's harder angles. It's more distance that you have to cover. So there's each sport has its own unique criteria to be successful.
So what made you switch? So I read that you were a high school coach for a while, obviously. What made you switch from high school to the college ranks?
I don't know. I got the itch to coach college. I needed an ideal situation. I had just gotten married. I just had a son. And a college job opened up at Moravian College, which is 40 minutes from here. So being a teacher, it was close enough because my wife is also a teacher. So it's not like I could pick up and move to Texas. So it was an opportunity. I always had the itch to, you know, to try and coach college football. Ultimate goal is still make that my job, you know, full time. But now it has to be the way head coaches jump around and bump around and go from college to the NFL, that kind of stuff. It would have to be an ideal situation now. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I had the itch. I coached quarterbacks, I coached running backs, I coached receivers, I coached every position in high school, and other than being a head coach of a high school. And would I go back and coach as a high school head coach? If it was the right situation, I probably would. But like I said, I just had that little bit of itch to say, hey, you know, what's the college ranks like? Because I enjoy recruiting. Like that's one of my, like, that I really enjoy doing, communicating with parents and players and all that in the recruiting process. And like I said, I just had that little bit of an itch, and that situation arose. So I interviewed, I was hired, and 12 years later, I'm starting my 27th year.
That's awesome. What was the biggest difference between high school coaching and college coaching?
You don't have to deal with parents as much. Like, honestly, awesome. You know, you don't have to. You don't have to explain why isn't Bobby playing or why isn't Jimmy getting reps, that kind of stuff. That was a major. Like, I'd rather talk to a parent saying, you know, hey, let's get your FAFSA filled out and, you know, let's get this paperwork done, that kind of thing, rather than why isn't my son playing?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That would probably be one of the major differences, yeah.
Yeah, my brother's a hockey coach, and, like, he's a, you know, high school hockey coach and, like, you know, club teams and stuff, and he's always, like, parents are so, like, can be so annoying, you know. And obviously, they're looking, like, I get it because they're looking for the best for their kids, but you know, sometimes you got to step back as a parent. So
yeah.
I understand that. And then digressing a little bit, what subject do you teach?
I actually am a special education teacher. I teach math, so I teach Algebra 1, Algebra 2, and Geometry in the high school setting.
Okay, yeah, my brother's a special ed teacher too, actually, so I get that. That's awesome.
Yeah. And being a teacher, that allows me to coach at Lackawanna because I'm a part-time, 17 miles from my school to Lackawanna, so it's an easy commute right after school, and I just shoot right up there every day.
That's awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering that, how far, you know, the school you taught at was and how far Lackawanna is.
Yeah, 20 minutes, 17 miles. Oh, nice. Yep.
That's not bad at all. That's a nice nice pairing.
Yeah.
Now kind of getting more into the coaching side of it. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned, I'm going into my first year, you know, coaching college. And I'm curious to find out this from you, and I'm sure other first-year coaches are too. What was your first year of coaching like?
Well, after my first year of coaching, I probably should have retired. When I got hired, we ended up my first year coaching football ever. We won a state championship in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
In double overtime.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I should have just retired and called it a career. And you're never the one thing that I would say to a young coach is you're never prepared enough, that you need to always be researching, you know, looking for that just that extra one drill. Listen to what anybody has to say. I mean, that's everybody has. You may not agree with the philosophy. You may be in a wing T offense and I run a spread no huddle offense, but you may get one drill or one verbiage that you can use in your program, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that's very you know, that's very great advice, real advice, because that's something I've noticed just beginning of my coaching career, when I'm training guys on the field, it's always good to have an extra drill in my pocket just in case all of a sudden if we fly through a drill. Plus, I'm always picking up stuff from other coaches.
Absolutely.
Always wanting to learn from other coaches to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No doubt about it.
Never have too much knowledge.
Yeah.
No. And when you get to the point of, I mean, I'm starting my 27th year of coaching, and I still go to spring balls. I still go to camps, clinics, whatever, just to pick up something. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I speak more at clinics now than what I actually end up going to. But I sit there with a notebook and a pen and a notepad, and waiting for that one, you know, just that one little piece of information that I can take back and say, hey, this will make us a little bit more successful as a football team.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
That's the way to do it. And what's the most rewarding part about coaching?
Well, especially where I coach at Lackawanna, seeing where our team, our players move on to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have it from our team, you know, we have players in the NFL. We have guys in the FBI. We have guys that are high school principals. We have guys that work for Bank of America. I mean, it's a pretty unique situation for us at Lackawanna, because just to see, you know, hey, how many guys are we sending? You know, we have 31 kids that graduate. Wow, 26 of them went to a Division I school. All right, we have them in every Power 5 conference you can imagine, you know, that's there. The top FCS schools. Just to see where they end up in the, you know, years down the road.
That's awesome. And then, like, what's cool is, like, as a coach, you definitely are teaching them some life lessons without even realizing it, too.
Sure. Absolutely. And I stay in contact with all my quarterbacks. I'm in contact with all my quarterbacks I had for 7 years. You know, hey, how you doing? You know, all this and, you know, what are you up to now? Did you move? Or are you getting married? Or, you know, and everything. The relationships you build. I had a quarterback, Brian Shore, who went to, for my play, he went to James Madison, played in two national championship games, won one, lost one. He was going to be drafted by the Chicago Bears. Well, the Chicago Bears are calling me on the phone. Hey, what can you say about Brian Shore? Whoa. Well, then, hey, great, you know, great. So, I mean, we're in a pretty unique situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. I think it's also nice to kind of hear that from a coach too, because as you know, a lot of football sometimes too much of business where the coaches aren't truly caring about the kids. Where, you know, with like you said, you stay in contact with your players. Not many coaches won't do that, and like they don't truly, you know, right, care about the player as a person, or importantly, right, as a player.
And I think that the unique situation is with us only being a 2-year school. You know, when you know you're talking about, you know, University of Maryland or 4 years, you know, some, well, you, they're coming through, coming, you know, you're bringing in
right
8, 9, 8, 7, you know, you're bringing in 20, you have 20 different kids, you know, I think that kind of makes a difference too, where, you know, and our head coach, Coach Duda, who he played in the NFL, and he's the all-time leading sacks at University of Maryland. He preaches that. Get to know
That's
your
awesome.
Players. I have Zoom meetings with my quarterbacks, and then I have Zoom meetings with my specialists twice a week. Like, and that's mandatory by our head coach. Hey, I don't care if you Zoom with them for 5 minutes. Hey, how you doing? You know, what's your situation like there? You know, how, you know,
right,
especially the situation we're in right now.
Exactly.
You know, how's your parents? You know, is everything all right in your world right now? Because we're getting back, our guys are going to move back. We're bringing them back in a couple different tiers.
Right.
Starting July 25th. So we're only a month away from getting back after it. Well, if they come back on July 25th and I have 4 out of 6 quarterbacks come back and test positive, well, we don't have a football program.
I know.
You know,
exactly.
And you see it happening at these big schools, you know, 27, 28, yeah, all these, you know, keep your fingers crossed, I guess.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. I know. So we'll see. So what are kind of, I'm sure there's a lot of crossover with this, but what are some things that you look for when you're recruiting a high school kid? That you want to see out of him, like as far as like qualities, and then even after that, what are some things you look for in a quarterback?
What I look for is, I don't have quarterbacks long enough to change their throwing mechanics. So if you know, because pretty much I have them for 1 year,
right?
Because I bring them in, chances freshmen don't play, and then they'll play as a sophomore, you know, that kind of thing, where I don't really mess with their throwing mechanics. If I feel their throwing mechanics are that bad, I just don't recruit them. I am a stickler for footwork. If your feet aren't right, you can't throw the ball.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's my personal philosophy. I always am in contact with a high school coaches or with a high school quarterback's head coach. You know, how is he when he faces adversity? You know, what kind of kid is he? What's his upbringing? You know, is he what are his grades? I probably my last 6 or 7 quarterbacks were all academic qualifiers that were just basically under-recruited that I brought in. So the stigma of dumb junior college kids doesn't really hold true in a quarterback meeting room at Lackawanna. I have a quarterback from Blacksburg, Virginia, who had 1,100 on his SATs. You know, I have a kid from a quarterback from West Virginia who turned down 3 Division II offers. Full scholarship offers to come to Lackawanna because he thinks he's better than Division II. You know, so I look footwork mechanics. I look demeanor. I'll always talk to the coach. Is he coachable? Or does he have all the answers? Because, like, right now I'm kind of actually dealing with a quarterback who thinks he has the answers before I ask the questions. And he's starting to, you know, kind of get on my nerves a little bit about it. But, but yeah, that's, like I said, most importantly is footwork. And then I'll go to, you know, other coaches and watch his, you know, his drop, his footwork, you know, that kind of stuff.
All right, for sure. For sure. That's good stuff. And then what about, you know, myself, I played quarterback in high school and college. In high school, we were very competitive. High school, we're in the top in Massachusetts. And then once I got to college, you know, I was at some pretty good programs where I felt like I was always in a quarterback competition every year. So when you, as a coach, when you have a tight quarterback competition, what are some things that will separate one quarterback from the other?
The first thing I look at and the most important thing in my eyes will be the decision-making process when he has the football in his hands. Will he throw the ball away, or will he try and force it in there and throw an interception? You know, because I always go on the motto, hey, throw it away, live for another day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one. At the college level, it's probably obviously a little bit more different, you know, a little different than high school is off field. What goes on off the field? You know, is he a pain in the ass in the dorm? Is he a troublemaker? Is he breaking curfew? You know, that kind of stuff. That weighs in coach, you know, coaching college quarterbacks. How are you doing in the classroom? Because if they're struggling in the classroom, they're obviously not putting enough time in. So they're doing something else that they probably shouldn't be doing.
Right. Exactly. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. And I know you coach specialists too. So do you believe that people undervalue special teams? And what do you like about coaching specialists?
I believe they are highly, highly, highly undercoached. Honestly, we don't have a whole lot of close games at Lackawanna. But close games that we are in, especially against our kind of rivals that are not too far away from us, don't mention any names, but we always win the special teams battle because we take pride in it. We have coaches that coach each special teams, different aspects of special teams. And we spend a lot of time, especially during our camp in August, on special teams. Coaching the kickers, punters, and long snappers. Kickers and punters, man, they're a different breed, man. They're weird.
Yeah.
They are. The one advantage that I do have is I bring them, and because you can only kick and punt so much during a practice, rather than burning their legs out, I'll bring them over for two periods, and they'll act as a wide receiver and catch, you know, a drill for me and stuff, like, just to keep them involved, because I see it when I go to other places, they go on their own and they're by themselves the entire time, the entire practice, where we actually stretch by position. We don't do a big team stretch or offense. We stretch by position and then we base it on what position is what we spend our emphasis on stretching. So that's when we get to kind of joke around a little bit and, you know, keep them involved, because when push comes to shove, they're the guys that win or lose you the game. It comes down, because we play teams year in and year out, you know, they're 4 for 7 on extra points, Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden they get a block punt, or you know, two block in the backs on a kick. They just don't practice it enough. And we do. We at Lackawanna, we value special teams pretty heavily. Mm-hmm. And with coaching the kickers, punters, and long snappers, I keep them very involved. I make them their own playbook. I just so they walk around with a binder, just like the quarterback,
right.
Just like there was, you know, and it makes them feel good. I mean, that's
I think
it is very, very highly undercoached, and very, very highly undercoached at the high school level.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's, and actually the high school that I used to coach at, the one high school I coached at, we did it on a Thursday and that was it.
Wow.
But you're not gonna win games only on a Thursday, but you'll lose them mm-hmm. by only doing it on a Thursday. So.
Right. Yeah, I love special teams. I'm a former long snapper myself too, so I understand the value in it, for sure.
Yep.
That's good. So now getting into kind of talking about JUCO football as a whole, mm-hmm. I'm really curious about this one. I'm sure a lot of people are. So what's JUCO football real like? Like, is Last Chance U, is that kind of an accurate depiction of what you go through as coaches, the players?
I see programs being like that. We are not. We actually turned down Last Chance U.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, we were offered after East Mississippi.
Yeah, wow.
And our president said, "Hell no." Because why did everybody? Why does everybody watch Last Chance U?
For the drama. Negatives. Yeah.
Yeah, the drama and the negatives. Absolutely. I mean, do we have that? Sure, but we don't have it like those schools.
Right.
We don't. Now, there are a great number of programs that are like that, but our head coach, like I said, played in the NFL. You know, the people that come into our office, you would be in amazement as to the foot traffic that we get. Our head coach runs our program. He always says, we run it like a Division I program without all the gear. You know, you go to Baylor, you get 4 sweatsuits. You come to Lackawanna, you get 1.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, kind of, it's more down that road. We have a strength and conditioning coach. We have a nutritionist. You know, we have mandatory study hall. Mandatory, and the one thing that I wanted to say is that Lackawanna, we make everything mandatory. We have mandatory study hall. If you miss a meal, if you miss class, if you miss weightlifting, if you miss practice, you miss a game. So that's you're missing 1/10 of the season, or 1/11, depending what it is. At Lackawanna, when Penn State, when, you know, Syracuse, when Maryland, when West Virginia, when all these people come in, well, where's this film? Well, he was suspended that week. Well, that's not real good.
Yeah, red flag.
Yeah, so we make everything mandatory. I mean, honestly, we run it like a boot camp. You know, we like our young coaches, our GAs, they in 6:30 in the morning, they're in our football dorm, blowing a whistle, banging on doors, wake up.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not awesome. One of our young guys, it's our head coach. So yeah. I mean,
that's cool to hear that. You know, because so many people think that, you know, JUCO football is just like what it is in Last Chance U, and that's how it is across the board. But you know, it's nice to, I know it'll be nice for other people to hear too that your program's running different.
You got to realize too, like, it's a TV show, so they're going to try and get the
drama. Sure.
They're going to squeeze it out no matter how, like, how they just really need that drama, so.
And that's, and honestly, that's why people watch it. I mean, we have, over the last 5 years, our team GPA is a 3.1 grade point average.
That's awesome. Great.
The highest grade point average in a college in Pennsylvania. And that's counting. Some, there's some pretty big schools in Pennsylvania.
That's right.